Hi, and welcome back to On Guard Cigars Live.
I'm Graylin Thornton.
I'm Ray Spannon.
I'm the Cigar Pig.
And I'm Mr. Christopher. And today we have a special guest, Buck Harder.
Hi, everyone. I'm Buck.
Everybody say hi, Buck.
Hi, Buck.
And today's topic is all about bootblacks. They're the backbone of our community, and they don't often get a lot of credit. So can you tell us a little bit what you do and what your job is like in the community?
Sure. So some would argue that bootblacks are the soul. Long story short, bootblacks are basically people that have decided that their path in leather is they want to care for the garments, the boots, and make sure that we all look good. That's a big part of it. And just maintaining the history that is found within our gear, right? A lot of the time when people sit for a bootblack, they get to hear the stories about like how they got, you know, funky stains on their boots, different play sessions, who they got the leather from, that kind of thing. So for me personally, I bootblack at my local beer bust every Sunday. I have guys sit for me and I just make sure that they look good before they go and hook up. So,
and how important is it to care for your boots? So I've gone years without having some of my boots shine.
How dare you?
I know, right?
You know.
I know. Like having all my boots all at the same time.
I mean, you could. That sounds like a personal problem.
I would love to see everyone's boots actually as we're on that topic.
I know. I'm nervous to show them.
I
always think Graylin's wearing boots. What are
those? Are boots?
They're Merrells. Because they count.
Okay.
So here's the really cool thing. One thing that I've kind of come to learn is whatever people's leather is, it has so many different ways of looking. I've literally had people sit for me with, you know, borderline Crocs. It's like, okay, this is important to you, I'll take care of it. You know, it just because it doesn't resonate with me doesn't mean that it doesn't resonate with them and it shouldn't be treated appropriately and taken care of, right? It's their gear, it's personal to them. So, long story short, stop picking on Graylin. His boots are fine.
Right.
So I started bootblacking, it's been, God, almost 14 years now. And actually it was the weekend that I had won my first leather title. The head judge was that year's International Community Bootblack. And for those not familiar, Community Bootblack is a title that the focus is on play. The focus is very much on carrying the spirit of BDSM play in the bootblack. Some titles are more about education. Some bootblacks are more about skills. This one's specifically about play and that kind of thing. And so the head judge that year was that year's International Community Bootblack. And I got to see them work at the bar after the contest was done. And not only was it a very cool experience to just watch, this was a gay leather bar, and that year's Community Bootblack was a very, very feminine woman, curly hair flowing down, like, down to her waist, boobs out to here. And the guy's sitting for her going, I really want to play with you, and it's messing with me right now. At which point I'm like, this is something I need to know. And so I'd already been speaking to my contest producer, and we were trying to figure out, okay, how do we get me to international? Because that costs money. And I expressed, oh, the bootblacking thing was kind of cool. And he just sort of goes, cool, you have 2 weeks to learn. What? Yeah, you're going to bootblack in the bar. That's how we're raising your money. Oh, okay. Not intimidating at all. And from there, I just kind of learned everything that I could. And originally, it was purely for fundraising purposes. And I very quickly fell in love with it. And I quickly found out this is something that really resonates with me. And I just kept going with it.
So it wasn't something you sought out. You were kind of forced into it, actually.
I was gently directed into it, yeah. But yeah, it wasn't something that I actively sought out because I'd seen bootblacks work before that's like, it didn't resonate with me at the time for whatever reason. And I was at the right time and place in the right headspace where it's like, oh, this is something I want to learn.
And now it's something you love.
And now it's something that I am completely in love with.
Now you mentioned something about the erotic part of it. And I, like, when I go to a bar and I have someone work on my boot, it's kind of a very erotic scene for me a little bit, as well as getting my boots taken care of. So because you're working on somebody's feet, are all bootblacks submissive?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
How many of you guys have had your boots blacked or gear blacked before? I would love a show of hands.
Of course.
Yeah, how many of you have actually sat for a boot black?
Yeah.
How many, and how many times would you say?
I couldn't even count on two hands.
That I sat for a boot black? Oh, countless. I have no idea. He was the last one to buck my boots. But it was many months ago, which is why they look bad now.
Did you say buck your boots or buck your boots?
I think you meant black your boots, but buck your boots.
Did I say buck?
You know what? I'll take it. That is kind of good, actually.
You're now a verb.
I need to trademark that.
Yes. You buck the boots.
Get your boots
back. Well, you know, let me ask you this question. So, you know, he said buck your boots. Christopher said earlier, shine your boots. I've always said black my boots. What's proper?
I've always just said getting your boots blacked or boot blacked or sitting for a boot black.
What if you have brown boots?
It's still sitting for a boot black. They just use different products.
Okay.
But just to kind of like touch on your point.
Oh, no.
So a lot of people I find conflate service with submission. They are not the same thing. And being a bootblack is absolutely a position of service. But if you ever get to watch a Dom bootblack in their element, it is incredible. I have seen, and actually I've taken part in having a bootblack tie someone to their bootblack chair.
Ooh, that's hot.
I have seen bootblacks that have beaten their client with their own boots, which is kind of fantastic and wild. Actually, one of the bootblacks that, she ran for International the year that I ran for International Leather Boy, and won, Luna.
Luna.
Oh, I love Luna.
She is a fantastic Dom bootblack, and watching her work is kind of unreal.
See, I would pay more for that.
I will keep that in mind.
It's like a photo.
absolutely, yeah. No, I've had offers.
Take
them. And the really cool thing is one of the things that bootblacks keep in mind too, and we'll probably touch on this later, but when they're picking their products, they're picking their products with wearable leather in mind. So stuff that will not be an irritant, stuff that will interact well with a person when they touch it, that kind of thing. So that can be all incorporated into the erotic element of it too. I mean, some products I will literally apply with my tongue if the circumstances call for it. So.
You know, since we're starting this discussion about bootblacks, I have seen bootblack spelled two different ways, and it happens all the time, and I've been taken to task for misusing the word. So is it bootblack, two words, or bootblack?
One word.
One word. Oh, one word.
So bootblack is one word.
Okay.
There are varying opinions about whether or not it should be capitalized. I don't think that it is necessary, but some people do.
Well, running for IML years and years ago, bootblack was capitalized. It built the B's. Like, it was important you called it not IML, but IMBB. That way you incorporated it. Didn't forget the bootblack, which I think happens a lot. But I would more so say, like, what was your intent when you were saying bootblack, and why was someone, like, getting on your case about it? Like, as long as you're respectful about it.
No, absolutely. I mean, the thing with bootblacking is that it's so individual that it's hard to make generalizations for the vast majority of anything of it. I would say the capitalization comes down to a title as opposed to the identity more than anything else.
It's actually a very good question when I start to promote this show. I could do it wrong by doing bootblack.
And you will be canceled.
I would totally be canceled.
I have a question, but I also have an observation. At the very beginning of it, when you said you got into it, that you were doing it to fundraise. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people do not realize that, like, beer busts and stuff that goes on in the community are fundraisers. And that's why we should really do anything we can to really patronize them and the people working there. Because many times it's either a fundraiser for the whole event or the person. So it isn't like somebody just doing a job.
Right.
However, that said, have you ever ruined anybody's boots or done something that you wish didn't happen?
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, no.
So, I will say this, and I have said this to multiple people, especially when they're just starting, when they're learning. If you are just learning how to boot black, actually, take this advice, I promise. There is very little that you can do to a boot, short of physical damage, that can't be backpedaled and fixed. So if you use the wrong product, don't panic. It can be remedied.
What if I use peanut butter?
That would definitely classify as the wrong product.
Don't look at me like that. I've heard bootblacks talk about using peanut butter before.
Why do puppies always want peanut butter?
Because it tastes good. It's like bacon.
Yeah, but usually there's pills in it.
Right. Oh my God.
I get my puppies to take their pills.
I have had instances where I used polish when I should have used conditioner, that kind of thing. Like, nothing horrible. Although I remember early on, I was informed, oh, you can get a really, really good shine if you use a hairdryer. Like, apply the polish and melt it with a hairdryer kind of thing. I didn't realize that you don't just sit there with the hairdryer and wait. So I might have accidentally cooked a pair of boots once, but they were old beat-up boots, and I was told it was fine. I hope.
So you did that on the stand when the
This was like take home. Take home stuff.
Okay, well that brings me to my next question. Do you only do boots, or is there other leather goods that you do? Like I have a sling full of Crisco that needs to be cared for.
So that's a separate conversation.
The Crisco or the sling?
The sling.
Okay.
The Crisco off the sling.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to do that.
So. Different bootblacks will navigate all of this differently. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I do take-home projects and I work the stand. I have no problem doing both.
So people can bring things to a bootblack.
Yeah, definitely negotiate that ahead of time, for sure. I wouldn't go, oh, there's a bootblack working this event. I'm going to bring them 5 jackets and just be like, hey, can you have this rate for tomorrow? Like, negotiate that just like any other service. But yeah, absolutely. I know a number of bootblacks that in some cases will prefer the take-home project because then they feel like they can take their time to really be as thorough as they would like to be. Because at the bootblack stand, you want to make sure you do a good job, but you also want to make sure that if they're at a bar and they're cruising, you don't want to kill 45 minutes of their afternoon.
Sure.
Working on their boots.
Right. And kind of the bar setting is more kind of, I wouldn't say performative, but you are, it's like you have a stage,
mm-hmm.
yeah. right? Where you have someone sitting and people are watching it.
Yeah.
Do you ever get stage fright?
Yeah.
I hate when people are over my shoulder watching me work on something.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I have kind of like a pre-bootblacking ritual that I will just kind of get in my head and I'll be like, I will remind myself, it's like, no, I really do know what I'm doing. And all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's actually referring to it as stage fright is pretty good because it's like you have that moment of like, well, they don't necessarily know what it is that you're going to say or do. You do. You are the expert. What's the term? You're the expert. You're the subject matter expert.
Oh.
You're the subject matter expert on what you are bringing, so don't worry about them feeling a kind of way about what you're doing, that kind of thing.
Like, interesting. So it is okay to assume that bootblacks also condition all kinds of leather.
If you have
something, you really should seek out somebody you know from the bar or the community that's a bootblack to do whatever. Most will do any
general,
leather goods.
Yeah, general guideline, if it's leather, it's fine.
But I would assume that you don't go to the bar with a box full of leather,
full of leather.
And hand it to the bootblack and say,
unless you've negotiated that with them beforehand, don't do that.
Get those little tickets you hand out.
Wait, what if I want you to clean my sling, but I want to be in it? Can I come home with you?
We'll talk about that during the break.
What are we negotiating?
Right, exactly.
I mean, we're we talk about it.
I got
parents. But I have a question for you. So years ago, a boot black named Black up in Canada taught me how to do boots. But then I saw someone light their polish on fire. Yeah. So I went home and did that and set the deck on fire, literally. I set the deck on fire. So is the lighting of the polish
necessary?
A thing, or did someone just fuck with me?
Brandon, please get your boots away from the open.
Yeah.
Please move away.
No, haven't you seen that before, though?
Yeah. I have, yes.
Okay.
So here's the thing with fire. It is mostly for show. Mostly. There is a purpose for it, and that purpose is if you need the wax to be more malleable and soft to get into nooks and crannies to get a smoother shine, that kind of thing. I don't know a ton of the chemistry behind it as far as like activating parts of the polish, that kind of thing. But in my opinion, yes, it is mostly for show. Anytime I have actually used a lighter or fire to really get that polish, I end up giving myself more work. It's never worked for me.
Yeah, have you ever done it on a deck and lit the deck on fire? Maybe that's...
No, but I've lit my client on fire once.
Oh,
you know, that's even better. That's even better. That's right. Yeah.
How did you light a client on fire?
So I do have a torch lighter in my bootblack kit, but I keep it to get rid of... threads, or if, you know, in the case of like Raylan's canvas boots, if that's fraying, that kind of thing, I take care of that kind of stuff with the lighter. And I did not have my main lighter on me. I had my backup lighter. And so I'm talking to the person sitting for me, was a very good friend of mine, thank God. And he's in the middle of telling a story, and I pull out my lighter, same as always. I'm like, I'm just going to take care of these threads. And I just pass the lighter, over the boot, and I freeze. And he looks down at me and goes, did you just set my leg hair on fire? Yep. And what had happened was my backup lighter has a flame that's about twice as long as my regular lighter. So my muscle memory just went, oh, that's how far away I need to be. And I needed to be a little further back.
So is your lighter like one of those cigar, like a creme brulee lighter?
Yeah, it's a torch lighter with like just a straight flame.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, I accidentally set my client's leg hair on fire. And we still talk about it. Like, thank God he was a good friend of mine and not like just some random guy.
Did he tip you more for that?
Actually, I think he did.
I mean, because, you know, fire play is kind of fun, though, right?
Yes.
Only when it's planned, not when you set your deck on fire.
Yeah, not when it's dangerous.
That video fire water for Brush Creek.
And he was in it.
No, my partner was in it.
Well, same thing.
Well, you know, that whole fire thing is a military thing.
Yes.
That's how guys say they get that real shine on military shoes.
Okay. I have a point of contention here.
Well, I just know that because my brothers are military.
Oh, no, I understand that, and I appreciate it. The number of times that a bootblack will hear, oh, well, I've heard that's how they do it in the military. They do a lot of stuff to their boots in the military that don't. here's the thing. When a bootblack goes over and picks their product, picks their technique, picks their process, and it's usually a very well thought out process, it is intentional, usually. Mm-hmm. And the intention is usually what is best for the long-term care of the boot. A lot of products do not have longevity of what they're working on in mind. A lot of mainstream leather care products are aimed at a shoe industry where they know people are going to be replacing their footwear every 3 months to a year. Whereas leather guys, more often than not, if you ask them, it's like, oh, those are some really cool beat up boots. How long have you had them? Oh, 30 years, 40 years. I've worked on boots that were like, I think 60 years old, and they still look good because they were well taken care of.
And that's why it's so important to take care of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I worked for Colt Studios, we had a tin of boots, like engineer boots and Daners, that were in this tub that never gotten cared for, and they're about 40 years old. Yeah. And I took one out once, and it like shredded like paper. I pulled it out, it was so dry.
It hurts.
I know, I'm sorry.
But yeah, to my understanding, like back to the military thing, to my understanding, like soldiers get new boots supplied for them as part of their kit.
Frequently, right?
Yeah. So they don't care of like, oh, are the boots going to last me 30 years? No. It's for them, it's like, are the boots going to pass inspection?
Right. Are they going to shine?
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of the like, oh, I heard that that's how they do it in the military. Great. Not our goal here. So
that's good to know.
Yeah.
You know, well, with that, I had a question here about, do you have favorite products people should look for?
I do. The first step you're always going to do is you want to clean the boot that you're working on, regardless of what the process is going to be. So this is the soap that I use. I got this from Leatherstock. You can order it online from leatherstock.com, and it's specifically a soap that's good for leather. They actually have added oils in here that are really good for the leather. Later.
That's right, because you're not what? Submissive. You're dominant right now. You are doming daddy. Tell him what to do.
Yes! We'll talk about it later, Pony.
I'm all for this. I think this is
yes.
Bye.
Phoebings also makes a subtle soap that's really good. And just any plain glycerin soap. Neutrogena also makes a facial cleansing bar that's really, really good, and that's easily accessible. Next, you're either going to want to polish or condition. The go-to conditioner for a lot of bootblacks is Hubbard's Shoe Grease or Hubbard's Shoe Oil, which is two different products. The shoe grease is a fan favorite because it's primarily pine tar and beeswax. Mm-hmm. There's very little in here, unless you have some allergies to keep in mind, like a pine nut allergy, that kind of thing. This is going to be great. And this is actually one of the products I was talking about earlier as far as like the play aspect. If I'm having a really good session, I apply this with my tongue.
Ow.
Do not make a meal out of this, but it's okay if you lick it.
I was going to say, is that safe to ingest?
Yeah.
It is not food safe. It's perfectly fine to like lick this, or like if small quantities end up in your mouth, like we're all used to licking various things you probably shouldn't, right, Craylin?
He'll lick anything.
Why are you kidding me? Right,
exactly. The big lick licks
and ever. There we go. Having been on the...
You're saying Hubert's. Most guys say Hubbard's.
Uh-oh.
No, that's Scientology.
Oh. Wow. No, I think that's L. Ron Mother Hubbard's.
I was wondering if it's Canadian versus...
But it's Hubert's?
So,
yeah, don't you say Hubbard?
So most people say Hubbard's. The official pronunciation is Hubert's.
Oh.
Oh. And we're going to be so smart.
And in my head... Well,
we're learning so much.
In my head, I refer to it as Habubert's. I do both. If you're polishing, I like using Lincoln. So Lincoln is one of my go-tos. Angelus is another really good brand. Kiwi is one that a lot of people go to, but it's very hot and cold. Some people can make it work, some people absolutely hate it. I used exclusively Kiwi for about 8 or 9 years until I found other products that I preferred. But yeah, Lincoln is my go-to. I like Angelus. Saphir, if you want like the Corvette of polishes, Saphir tends to be like really high up there, but you're also spending like over twice as much.
I love her on RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's a fear to polish, right?
You know, other than the polish, that's exactly how you take care of fresh tattoos too. Clean
yes.
it first with something like Neutrogena,
yeah.
and then condition it. So
and then put again, black it's on it.
That's our tattoo episode.
And then do you take a brush on it and start scraping it too?
Absolutely. I wouldn't use Hubert's on a fresh tattoo, but similar idea. And actually, just really quick, I do want to plug one quick thing as well. If you are just starting to learn, I brought this. So this is Beyond Bootblocking by Daddy Wendell. Easily found on Amazon, and I think it costs like 10 bucks, 12 bucks. It's pretty, it's an affordable book. This is not a really heavy read, and it is a lovely reference for products, techniques, especially if you're just getting started. This is a really, really good guide.
Yeah. So somebody sits for you in your chair, and I know you charge more to set their hair on fire, but but apart from that...
That's enough charge.
But tell us about tipping. What is it appropriate to tip a bootblack? When should you maybe tip more? Is there any time when you tip less? And tell us about that.
So a lot of the time it might depend on the event, that kind of thing. If someone is specifically bootblacking to raise money for charity, not a bad idea to toss them some extra dollars. Because
yeah.
A lot of the time they'll have a split between what they're allowed to keep and what is going to the event. That'll be discussed with the event producer, that kind of thing. I tell people, tip whatever you're comfortable with. $20 is an average, not over the top tip.
Okay. So, wait, is there a price for the service and then you tip? Or is the tip for the service?
So that is basically up to the bootblack. That would be negotiable with them.
Okay.
For me personally, if I'm bootblacking at a bar, if I'm bootblacking at an event, I do not charge. I feel that sitting for a bootblack is part of the experience of being in a leather space, and I don't want the cost to be a barrier from someone being able to experience that. I know that that is not a universal thing. Some bootblacks will outright charge for their time and service. So that is something that you will want to talk with the bootblack in mind before you sit for them, as opposed to assuming.
So if they're not charging for the service, $20 is a base tip, basically. But if they are charging for a service, is it like 15%? Is it 20% above that?
Actually, could we do like a little role play? I would love to. You just got your boots blacked. How do you navigate and approach this situation? Go.
I left the money on the drip pipe.
Thanks, Tony.
How would you do it?
Well, you know, one of the things I want to say is that what you say, obviously, is what we all know in the community. But if you can afford it, regardless if it's free or not, support the bootblacks and give a good tip.
Completely.
You know, just because somebody says, oh, you know, it isn't, you know, it really is. It's almost like sliding scale fee. If somebody has the money, I love the way you say that. Just do it, guys.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, people are in these communities. It's how we build them.
And some people can afford more than
that.
Yeah.
So just do it. Yeah.
But if you, let's say you're getting into a chair for the very first time. This is your first bootblack experience.
And you're nervous.
How do you go about negotiating this? How do you know what to ask for? Do you even know if your boots have been done well?
Honestly, just ask outright, what do you expect from me here? Like, what, how much? I've had people, after the bootblacking service, they get off the chair and they go, okay, what do I give you? You know, just directly. Because that conversation, more often than not, is just as awkward for the bootblack because they want to do it from a place of service. They recognize they should be tipped, and a lot of bootblacks will feel gun-shy about asking for that tip because it's like, but I'm doing this as a service.
That's why we're trying to get, what would the base be? Yeah. So we can all...
The base B is currently looking for the beeswax.
It's your beeswax. It's bringing the bees. Yeah.
So generally, I actually recently had one of my friends refer to it as, oh, it's kind of like bringing something to the dry cleaners. How much would you tip if you get like a shirt dry cleaned? That's a good guideline as far as like above and beyond their service, if you tip for dry.
You know, somewhat related to Graylin's question, have you gotten people in your chair that are obviously nervous sitting in that chair? This might be their first time in a leather bar, first time in a chair.
Yes.
And how do you handle someone who's nervous in your chair?
So,
I'm the nervous person. Look at me and give me the experience.
Okay. Let me get in the headspace. Okay. Amp as a first timer. I can't picture it.
So nervous.
I just asked them about them. So, cool. So, this is your first time in a leather bar. Why did you not come before this? What do you think about the environment so far? Are you having a good time? How's your day going?
I really hate questions, actually. This is far too much. This is overstimulating. I'll let someone else go because this is too much.
I've taken off the stepladder. You can't escape.
That's a typical puppy response. I'm putting my hood on. Mark, mark.
So, generally, if you are a bootblack that wants to ease your client into it, just genuinely just ask them real questions about them and their gear. Even if this is a brand new pair of boots that they bought that day, they will already have some sort of sentiment attached to the boots or the garment that you're working on. So just having them talk about themselves and what they're wearing is a really, really good starting point, I find.
Right.
I actually had one guy sit for me a few weeks ago. He had on a harness, he had on boots, he had on all the right stuff. And as we were talking, he's like, yeah, I just bought this stuff today. I've never been to a leather bar before.
Wow.
And they're going, oh, cool. Okay, talk to me about that. Like, what's your experience been like? And he just calmed right down. He was totally into it. He was like, yeah, it's just I've always been really curious about it. I had partners that would like poo-poo all over it, so we never did it, and da-da-da-da. And so he just relaxed and really had a good experience.
You opened the door. Have you ever had boots that were just so disgusting and maybe had a little poop? Like, what's the gnarliest boot?
Oh, we're going there. Okay.
What is the gnarliest boot you've had to do with? I want to know, like, because I've heard some horror stories.
So we walked through a lot of shit.
So, I will address two things with that. The first is, if you know that your leather has something that could be considered biohazardous material, communicate that. And I don't just mean like biological matter, but if you're like, oh, my boots are moldy, let the bootblack know first. Because that's a whole other form of treatment that a lot of the time they will not have the kit for that right there and then. So if there is something very specific that needs to be taken care of on your gear, you need to let the bootblack know. Like above and beyond just a regular clean polish condition. If you are having a really good hot and heavy scene for a bootblack, do not demand or expect them to lick the sole of the boot unless you know exactly what you have stepped in. And I mean exactly. Yeah, no. And as far as like the gnarliest boots that I've ever worked on, I remember I was at a pansexual play party event. When I first got started, I didn't have a leather bar really easily accessible to me. So I worked alongside a local kink group that would put on monthly or bi-monthly play parties. And it was typically a pansexual, mostly straight environment. And again, this is to tie into my fundraising and that kind of stuff. So that's why they were cool with me being there. And I had one guy come up to me and he just said, "Don't look down. Before you look at my boots, just know you're totally I am totally good if you say no." I'm like, "Oh God." And I looked down and his boots are covered in mud from like 3 years ago on a camping trip. Like they had just sat in mud and whatever else happened during that camping trip. And he had, and again, tip your boot blacks, he had $80 sticking out of the boot. And he's like, "Just for me sitting for you, you get this ahead of time." I'm like, "Okay." Yes. And I had another boot black working alongside me that was a very, very good friend of mine. So we had more than one boot black at the time. So I was like, "Oh, okay. Are you cool just like taking people? And I'm going to see how long this takes me." 2.5 hours.
Wow.
That's...
And I could see my reflection in them by the time I was done. I was
right. Very proud. Good for you, yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, it tip accordingly. If you know your boots are going to take a little bit of extra time, that extra 10 or 20 is not a bad thing.
You know, can I ask you a question? Do you ever boot black for non-queer events or non-queer environments?
So this is personal opinion.
Right.
I'm of the opinion if I specifically boot black for a kink or leather event, whether it is entirely straight presenting, it is on some level queer.
Yeah.
Mm.
So as a boot black, I will say no. However, I did recently get hired as a shoe shine for a film festival event. And basically this person reached out to me and he said, "Hey, I've been trying to find a shoe shine. I can't find one. I do hair and makeup for these red carpet events." Right. And the person who hired me asked if I could find a shoe shine for them. "I heard that you like clean leather and stuff. Can you do that too?" I'm like, yeah, I could do that.
You know, I used to have to travel a lot for work, and there's always the shoe shine guys in the airport. There is absolutely no way, talk about nervousness, that I would go to them, because I really didn't like the people I saw sitting in their chairs.
Yeah.
You know, and so there is this whole gestalt or bigger picture about shoe shine, boot black, as being, you said at the beginning, not subservient or dom, there's both. Mm. But there's also a social justice thing to it that just makes me uncomfortable outside of the queer environment.
I think that that's fair. It's, there can definitely be an air of power imbalance.
Right.
In that sort of situation.
In the non-queer environment.
Right. Right. I think that within queer circles, there's a lot more understanding of the nuance of there power is, structure. Yeah. And in the at the very least in the non-kinky, non-leather world, there's a lot less of that understanding that nuance is there in the first place.
Yeah. Well, Graylin brought it up and he said, "Look, that's how people are making a living. You shouldn't be that way. You know, if somebody's out doing a business, go for it. But, you know, you're so programmed about different social, you know, kind of aspects of it."
And I totally understand what you're saying, and not just make this a conversation between you and I, but a lot of those people... Hold me into the conversation. But you know, a lot of those people are trying to make a living, and a lot of those people are people of color, and that is their craft. And if you're not going to support them doing their craft and their job because you feel bad about it, that's just your white guilt.
You're right. And it is a craft, and I have to look at it differently.
But we shouldn't have to suffer because of your white guilt.
I know, well.
Also, one of the things we can do is sit in that chair at the airport and give them two or three times what anybody else is giving them, and make that experience good for them, too. So.
And I will from now on.
Well, speaking of sitting in a chair,
yes.
Do you ever have anyone do anything obnoxious or inappropriate or any of those things?
All the time.
We want details.
We want gory details.
Yes, that's right.
So I will say, because of the intimate nature of boot blocking, right? You are sharing space, regardless of how sexual it might become. There is an intimacy there in that shared space for the 15, 20 minutes you're there together, right? So with that, in some cases, comes a real parasocial relationship of like,
yeah.
Oh, I have this familiarity with this person now. No, you don't. Not necessarily. And so I've definitely had these moments where either someone will assume that I am automatically submissive, they will assume that they have free rein to touch either me or themselves. And in some cases, I have flat out opened the door where I'm like, where it's that kind of scene and that kind of exchange where I'm like, you know, if you want to touch yourself, it's okay. I'm enjoying this too. But I would definitely let the... There is a saying that everyone bottoms to a bootblack. And that's not to say that everyone subs to a bootblack, but what that means is let the bootblack direct. So if they want you to sit differently so that they can reach your boot, if they would rather you do something or not do something, pay attention to the bootblack because they're the one directing what is happening because they're the one in the position of their offering the service. So go follow their lead to make sure that you get the best service possible. But yeah, I've definitely had some people, you know, and sometimes it depends. I mean, sometimes it's a very innocent thing and I just gently address it, correct it, and we move on. And other times I've literally said, oh no, you're being an asshole. You're getting out of my chair now.
Oh my God. I need my boots to be bucked now because I just did a great one.
Wait, we're both verbs now.
Yes. You're a verb. All right.
All right. You had a question?
Yes. So some of my favorite boot blacks are non-male identifying. You know, Miss V is one of my favorite people on earth.
We love Miss V.
And she actually said something really funny. She said, my job isn't to suck your dick, but to get your dick sucked. But so I love that. Uh-huh. But do you see a rise in non-male identifying boot blacks?
I don't necessarily see a rise in non-male identifying boot blacks. What I think we are seeing is bootblacks being reflective of the evolving nature of the community as a whole. We are seeing leather and kink being much more homogeneously homosexual and being a lot more varied. And bootblacks, I think, are actually a good representation of that. So I think the non-male bootblacks have always been around. We're just seeing them a lot more openly now. And I am 100% gay. I tell people that I'm bisexual from the knee down. You can establish a connection, even like a play connection, with someone that is not necessarily your sexual preference when the dynamic is different to just involving your genitals, right? So I've had wonderful scenes where it's either a woman sitting for me or a woman that's bootblacking for me. Or someone who's non-binary, you know, I've had a good variety of those scenes. The really cool thing of note is, I don't know if bootblacking, in my opinion, has always been queer on some level, but it has never been exclusively male. One of the first instances of I would say at the very least a boot fetishist within their dynamic was Hannah Colwick from the late 1800s. She actually had in her journal talking about how she could tell where her master's been based on the taste of his boots, that kind of thing. This is a woman in the 1800s in a, as far as I understand it, well-established power dynamic situation in London writing about this. As a matter of fact, the first picture of taken of a shoeshine situation was from the early 1800s in Paris, France. One thing that a lot of people, when they engage in their chosen passions or interests, like they have to really realize that a lot of this stuff has a racial tone, a racial origin to it. And like many things, you know, white people came along and co-opted. and bootblacking and shoe shining are far from an exception to that. I mean, if you think about a lot of like classic shoe shine imagery, it's black people doing white people's shoes. So there's definitely a racial side to this as well as a gendered side to all of this. And I think a lot of it just isn't necessarily ignored, but just isn't really talked about.
Mm. So. We know there's bootblack titles contests, and we know that International Mr. Leather has chosen not to do correct. International Mr. Bootblack. Are you disappointed about that?
Thoroughly. So, for those who don't know, the entire International Mr. Bootblack production team all resigned en masse the same day last year. I believe it was in January of last year. Hmm. You know, obviously I was not involved in any of the board meetings. I don't know what conversations happened or didn't happen. But for whatever reason, the IML production team decided to not move forward with the IMBB contest.
Weren't you going to run in that contest?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bar was ready to send me to go compete. And unfortunately, like, you know, on a personal level, yes, I'm disappointed.
So that had to be really disappointing.
Oh, that sucked. Yeah, I was not happy about that. And I think that it was really disappointing to see the bootblacks. Many bootblacks felt that we kind of got swept under the rug by IML that year. And a lot of bootblacks were understandably very upset. So IML last year opted to do an open shine. So what that means is bootblacks could apply to just shine for a shift or two, and people could still go get their boots done. Now, the problem with that is one of the arguments in support of this was, well, it gives the spot for bootblacks that might want to work that wouldn't get that kind of exposure, which sounds great on the surface until you realize, oh, wait, Sunday they were already doing that as it was. They already had the open shine on Sundays for people that were not competing because the contest was done at that point anyway. And a lot of bootblacks, myself included, felt that the ones that took part last year, it kind of defeated the purpose of the bootblacks that decided to essentially boycott the event. Because right. It's like, oh, if the bootblacks aren't there, it's going to send a message. Well, now this year, they're doing the open shine again. And my personal opinion is, okay, last year they could at least have the excuse to some degree of, oh, we weren't ready to do the bootblack contest because all the people that were going to do it, they ended up resigning. We weren't ready for it. They had an entire year to get that going this year, and they chose not to. Yeah. Again, I wasn't involved directly, so I don't know what conversations did or didn't happen.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it is incredibly disappointing because to me, it sends the message that IMBB is not coming back, and there's a lot of history involved in the bootblack contest there. Now, there are other bootblack contests as well. And each has their own goals and their own aims. Some are very education-based, some are play-based, but IMBB was definitely one of the big ones that has a long-standing history, and to just kind of have it end on a whisper without it being addressed by the IML production team, it just feels really disingenuous.
Well,
and this
is why we wanted to kind of highlight bootblacks right now, because they had just kind of gotten to this point of having a bigger presence in our community, and now it seems like they're being swept under the rug, and they are often overlooked.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're coming on and informing us what we do.
And thank you for giving me this space.
Of course.
So,
What made it happen?
Again, it's a lot of hearsay on from where I'm sitting. There's a lot that I did not have direct exposure to. My understanding is that it had a lot to do with how some things were handled behind the scenes, especially with regards to the trans title holders being treated differently than the cisgender title holders of both IML and IMBB. The trans title holders of IML have, to my understanding, all reported that they received the same treatment as the trans bootblack title holders. And so a lot of the IMBB production team kind of went, okay, you know what, we're done. And with the last IMBB being Alistair, being a trans guy, they were seeing him being on the receiving end of a lot of this stuff too, apparently. And so they just went, you know what, we don't want to take part anymore, we're done.
Okay. I'm an old guy and came out in the 70s, right? And my bootblacking experiences early on were all erotic. Mm-hmm. They were all sexuality-based. If I was in a bar, there was somebody doing my boots, and it was a scene. So, and I realize this is a bias. If there's two bootblacks, you and someone, like I'm attracted to you, but I'm not attracted to this person, I'm going to want you to do my boots because for me it's an erotic experience. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
If you ask 10 different bootblacks, you'll probably get about 15 different answers. A lot of the bootblacks I've spoken to do understand that, especially if you're bootblacking in a gay male space and you are not a male bootblack. Mm-hmm. a lot of leather guys have that same erotic connection. So they will be a lot more hesitant to sit for a boot black that's not a guy, right? I definitely would encourage someone to sit for a boot black that is not necessarily their preference as far as sexuality goes, because that might be a really interesting and surprising experience for you.
Yeah.
But I think, especially if you have a specifically erotic or sexual connection to your gear, I think that that is a pretty normal reaction, yeah, really.
So. You know, I'm kind of the opposite of race with that.
You have no erotic connection.
I don't want eroticism. No, I'm just kidding.
What are you doing here?
You're vanilla. What's wrong with me? No, but when I go to a boot black or sit in a boot black, I'm looking at, I want the best job that I could possibly get. And so I look for that.
Right.
But what are things to look for when looking for that?
Yeah.
So in my opinion, there's two barometers for how to like gauge that. If you are specifically looking for making sure that the boot black gives the result that you want to A, look at the gear as the person is, you know, sitting ahead of you is getting off of the chair. It's like, are their boots actually done to the level that you would want? The second is watch how the boot black interacts with the person sitting in the chair. Because just because the boots or the gear isn't taken care of the way that you would expect your gear to be taken care of, what's the client asking for? What experience are they wanting out of it? So if the boot black is one where it looks like they are paying attention to the person in the chair, then that would be one of the biggest barometers for me, is the boot black actually taking care of their client? And to circle back to IMBB, that was one of the things that I was actually being judged on, was customer service, for lack of a better term, right? It was, you know, is the boot black paying attention to their customer? Are they actually communicating with the client that's sitting for them? Are they making sure their needs are being met? So I've had some people that will sit for me that they don't want a super high shine, that they just want to clean and move on, you know, keep cruising the bar. I've had people sit for me that specifically want their boots treated in a way that I would not treat for the leather myself, but it's what they want. So I'm going to give them what they want, right? So yeah, that's what I would pay attention to, is like, what is the end product and how is the boot black actually navigating that experience in the first place? Because if they're a boot black that's going to listen to you, the chances are greater of them making sure that they do what you need them to do.
All good information. Now, you also have a very healthy TikTok, which is hilarious, and I watch it religiously, where you give a lot of great boot advice. But one of your TikToks, you were tasting shoe polish, and I know you said you can. Is there any polishes that are better than others to taste, and can you eat it?
So I prefer Lincoln.
Still gross. Get that shit out of your mouth.
Sorry, what?
I prefer showing and telling. I think everyone should take a little taste test.
Yeah, how do you just eat it out? Oh!
Hey, your turn, Daddy. Take a lick.
You've licked worse things. Come on.
Don't do this.
Is your tongue? Does it taste like cocoa butter?
You tell me. Ooh, oh, God. Now you have my germs.
Oh, that doesn't taste bad.
It really doesn't.
Right. You know, kind
how many licks does it take to get to the middle?
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I've been working on that. So I will say, so the reason for licking polish is because humidity actually adds to the quality of the shine at the end. So there is an actual like reason for that. So my favorite product to lick actually is the Hubert's. Now again, do not make a meal out of this. This is not food safe. But I do like applying it with my tongue. And it's primarily pine tar and beeswax. So again, unless you have funky allergies, this should be okay. I'm not a doctor.
He is.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh.
There you
go. See, this is what I'm talking about.
This is educational, YouTube. This isn't sexual.
This is what's hot for me. This is what's hot for me.
Understandably, yeah. And again, the moisture actually helps the conditioner do its job, so there is a reason for it.
Oh my God, they already look better.
That'll be $20.
You take Venmo.
I do. tip for bootblacks at this point. Cash is no longer king at this point. Get a Venmo, get a Cash App.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
I did not know
that. I don't even know how to use it.
Nobody carries cash anymore.
QR code, maybe?
Yeah, or a QR code. Well, I mean, when you set up a Venmo, you get a QR code, that kind of thing. But yeah, I would say about maybe a third of my bootblacking clients ask me if I have Venmo. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So if you are a bootblack, then that's something that I would recommend.
Sure. You know, just look at that, is a gorgeous vest that you have on. I mean, it's.
So pretty
fucking amazing. Can I say fucking?
Yes.
You've said it twice now.
can you turn around and show us the back of it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Slowly, very, very slowly. Yeah.
Yes, very sensually.
You might have to bend
it. Oh, that's great.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God, did you drop your soap?
Your saddle soap?
Isn't it?
So,
that already happened.
This is the other thing, too, is I figured out years ago, oh, wait, I don't need a title to get a patch. I can just get a patch made. So, and I started referring to myself as your friendly neighborhood bootblack, mostly as a reference to Spider-Man. But I spoke to a friend of mine. I was like, hey, can we do a graphic around this? And next thing I knew, I had a patch and a vest to put on.
Well, you bring up a great point, because we did a whole episode on title holders. And you don't have to be a title holder to be of service to the community.
To do anything.
As a matter of fact, most of the people who do the most in the community aren't.
You're right. So tip them.
Yeah.
And they're not coming.
So give them the tip, yes.
My Venmo is.
Well, you know, you brought up the community bootblack title. I guess that's the more playful title.
So there was one title, I think they're still around. It's kind of disjointed and weird. The International Sir Boy title.
I'm not sure.
So there's International Leather Sir, International Leather Boy, and Community Bootblack. And the three were kind of like tied together.
Right.
And that title circuit, the focus was, okay, cool. Are you a player? You look good in the gear. Do you actually play in it? Mm-hmm. So that was the angle of that title circuit. Mm-hmm. And the bootblack title circuit was no exception to that. They had an entire portion of the contest weekend where it's like, okay, now show us how you play on the stand. And like they would do, like there was moaning and screaming and it was great. So yeah, they would actually like play as part of the thing.
So now that IML is not doing IMBB, are there other events? Are there other places that are very supportive of bootblacks and have a good community?
Absolutely. The ones that come to mind that I have direct communication or experience with, there's Take a Stand, which is a fairly new one in Dallas, which I think is either happening soon or just happened.
Okay.
There's Northwest Leather Celebration happening in Sacramento the first weekend of May, which, quick plug, I'm emceeing and teaching that weekend.
Oh,
right! We'll go.
And I'm actually teaching about creating a connected space while bootblacking, so that'll be good.
Oh, great.
And then there's Southwest Decadence. They're based in Phoenix, and that is an offshoot of Southwest Leather, which that event kind of went away for a bit and then came back as Southwest Decadence. And those three events are all very supportive of their bootblacks. Actually, Take a Stand is bootblack focus specifically.
Yeah. Claw.
Claw. Yeah, Claw has Claw LA and Claw Cleveland at this point, which I think Claw LA is now Leather Getaway.
MAL.
MAL is very supportive of the bootblacks.
IMSL.
IMSL is huge.
Very.
I would love to see IMSL do.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. IMSL has IMSBBA, International Biz Bootblack.
Uh-huh.
So that title is still alive and healthy. And IMSL, as far as I understand it, I've never been yet, unfortunately, but as far as I understand it, they have their stuff together and they are supportive of the bootblacks.
They do. I would love to see them do the Mr. Bootblack contest with their Ms. Bootblack contest.
I would be fully in support of them holding on to that title for sure because they have their stuff together. I don't know how people would feel about a female presenting title circuit incorporating a male title into the weekend. I think that's another conversation.
Hmm. Is it something that we don't do the Mr. and Miss anymore? Like now it's MX Rubber. Could they do that?
I think that is something that is currently in flux. Okay. It will settle on something eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later. But as the thought process and philosophy around gender identity evolves, which right now it is expanding a
rapidly,
ton, I think the title circuits are a reflection of that, but lagging behind a little bit because you're dealing with the bureaucratic process of how all of that fits together. So I think all of that is going to be present eventually, and it's getting there. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet, but it's definitely getting. It's definitely getting there.
Well, stay tuned. And if people want to find your channels and where you're teaching about bootblacking, where can they find you?
So the main place where I'm teaching bootblacking and leather care is on TikTok. Hi, everyone. I'm Buck, your friendly neighborhood bootblack, and I teach about bootblacking and leather care on TikTok.
Buck Harder.
Buck Harder, yes. So I'm Buck Harder on TikTok, and I have pinned videos that literally breaks down what bootblacking is in the first place. I have playlists for bootblacking 101, 201, storytime stuff, Q&A. So, yeah, that would be the main hub to check me out.
Wow.
Would you say it was the main Hubbard to check you out?
You had to get one last in.
With that,
but it's Hubert. It's Hubert.
No, calling time.
Hubert.
So, thank you for coming on the show and informing us. I learned a lot today. Yeah, actually, I did not know there were so many layers to this. Mm-hmm. I just thought I just got up there and let someone work on my boots. I didn't even know what to look for.
There's multiple layers of polish involved.
Yes.
There's conditioner. There is.
And you can lick it on.
You can lick it on.
How about getting ash off a boot? Is that...
Ash is water soluble, so absolutely.
Easy.
Yes. Okay. Cigars and boot blacks go very well together.
Yeah. Let's just set them on fire.
Yeah. Just be careful.
No more flames.
Yeah, no more flames.
So if... No, not on me. On my boots. Not on me. No, on the boots.
Oh, okay.
You're doing this wrong. Okay. Yeah. So if you get ash accidentally on your boots, you can go to our sponsor, Mr. S. Leather, where they have all the products that you just described. And if you want to smell like my boot, you can go to Leather Daddy Skin Co. and get all of their products. So Leather Daddy Skin Company is a plant-based skincare line with a kinky twist. Leather, scotch, vanilla, and 18 erotic spices are bound to get the blood flowing, getting you ready to dominate your day. If you use offer code ONGUARD, you'll get 10% off your order. So thank you very much, Leather Daddy Skin Co. Thank you guys for wearing your favorite boot shirts, and we have a lovely new Chaps shirt that you can get at safewordshop.com. If you like ringing bells, ring that bell down below and you might be notified of our next one. And if you have questions or even comments about anything, you can leave a comment down below. Don't forget to subscribe and we'll see you next time.
Bye!